Turn with me now to the scripture, to the book of Isaiah. It encouraged me no end last week when Jeff was reminding us that when we're down, when we're weak, when we feel spent, that the word of God is there. I'm rewording this a bit, but this is kind of how I took it, that the word of God can quicken us when we're dead, enliven us when we're lifeless, can motivate us when we're sluggish, and on it goes. We have the word of God to encourage our hearts, don't we? And this is particularly encouraging in the place of prayer when we feel like, I don't feel like it. I don't have anything to pray. I don't know which way to go. And the word of God to our rescue in times like that. Well, along these lines, we're turning this evening to the book of Isaiah, as we say, the 40th chapter. And if you would, join me there for a very encouraging little section. We're not so much looking at a prayer per se as just help to pray, help in prayer, help for God's weary prayers, if you will. And so our portion begins with verse 27 and goes down to the end of the chapter, verse 31. Very familiar. Isaiah says here in chapter 40, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Now he starts with three questions here. He puts this to his people. Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? That's really one question. The next is, do you not know? And the next is, have you not heard? Why do you say this? He starts. And the answer, no doubt, would be, well, it's because how it looks, and it's because certainly how it feels. It looks like and it feels like our way is hidden from the Lord. It looks like we have been abandoned. It looks like we've been dropped off in the street corner, the door is shut, and he says, now, fend for yourself, see you later. It's how it feels, it's how it looks. And so the answer to their question, to Isaiah's question, why do you say this, and why do you assert this, is because, well, that's just how I feel. That's just how it looks. Now, that begs the next two questions then. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And he puts it to them almost like there's a rebuke in here. And it's almost as if he's saying, really? You're approaching this, or you're acting like, or thinking like, or feeling like anyone of the nations around us. Don't you know? Haven't you heard this? I can hear Jesus arguing with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees raising some ridiculous questions, and our Lord says, have you never read? Have you never really read? And then he'll put some verse to them and apply it, and they'll think, well, I've read that all my life, and I've never seen that. And this is sort of what he's saying here. Don't you know? Have you never heard this? Have you? Yes, we've heard this. We've heard this from our Sabbath school or our synagogues. We were that young, and they were teaching us the ABCs of faith, and we heard such things, but have you never really, really heard it? Well, we could almost again hear our Lord saying to his disciples, his distraught disciples, by the way, where's your faith? And do you remember when he said that? They were out in that storm-tossed boat, and they shake him, wake up. He was asleep in the stern. Don't you care that we're perishing, and that I don't know how many inches of water was already in the boat, but their conclusion was, we're going down. It's a deep lake, by the way. It's a long way to go. And of course, he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves, and everything's miraculously calm in just the next moment. And he turns to them and says this great question: do you not know? Have you not heard? Or where is your faith? And so the people who are feeling sort of blue have this kind of a check, and it's always good to have this sense of self-pity kind of just slapped a bit. And I can hear old Martin Luther saying, I slapped that on the snout. You need him for a pastor, you really do. Anyway, next he goes on to speak, from this he goes on to speak in praise of God, doesn't he? What does he say? Verse 28, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired, and his understanding is inscrutable. Now what we'll do is we'll start with that last line of the verse and then work our way back up. But he says in this last line, his understanding is inscrutable. Now, there's a big word. What does inscrutable mean? Unfathomable, undecipherable, limitless, bottomless, that sort of thing. He's praising God for having such a brilliant, unearthly mind. I don't know how else to say it. But his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. We're in the grip of something that God is doing, Isaiah says to his contemporaries. And we said, we can't figure it out. But the right attitude towards that not being able to figure it out is not just to assume we've been forgotten of God. He has abandoned us. In fact, hold your place here in Isaiah and turn with me briefly to the book of Job. And I want us to see this same situation where a man rises in faith to express something that is absolutely noble. Well, in the 23rd chapter, Eliphaz has been at bat at chapter 22, and chapter 23, Job steps up to the plate, and he's talking about God. And he says in verse 8 of chapter 23, behold, I go forward, but lo, he's not there. I go backward, I can't perceive him. What's he saying right there, that one verse? He says, God is. I can't pin him down. I can't find him. I don't see him. The temptation is to think he is doing nothing. But then verse 9, listen to the man. When he acts on the left, and there's an important point. God is doing something, and I don't grasp it. But the main thing is he's acting. He turns on the right, and I cannot see him. In a way, it's saying much the same thing, but he is giving expression to this. I know God is doing something. There's a verse, for instance, we're not through with Job. There's a verse that never fails to encourage me, where the psalmist says, thine is the day, and thine also is the night. And that gives expression to this bit of faith. It's all his. And he works is really in the evening when I can't see him, as he works in the daytime. And to think that the sun goes down brings an end to God's works is just not right. His works continue. And the night reveals the next morning that God was at work. Well, I have to turn the page now in Job 24 or 23 to verse 10. After saying these things, Job then says, but he knows the way I take. No, I can't find him, but he's easily finds me. I can't see him. He's watching me all the time. He knows the way that I take. And then this is, listen to his faith rising. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He says, I'm in the hands of God, who is like a smelter, a refiner. He is refining his gold, well, it's not all gold here in the crucible, is it? There's some things coming off the gold. And when he turns off the flame, and that's an encouragement there. I'll come out like pure gold to him. Now back to Genesis, Isaiah 40. And so he's praising the Lord here, and he has said this: his understanding is inscrutable. We're not going to figure it out. Why do I feel this way? Why do I think my way is hidden from the Lord? Why does it seem the justice due to me is escaping his notice? And the answer is, we don't know, and we may not know. Job never did learn why all those things happened to him. He just praised God. And he said, I've heard of you before, but now my eye sees you. Why did you take this one? Why did you take my sheep? Why did you take my children? Why did you destroy my house? Why did my health break? God's silent. His ways are inscrutable. Ah, but look up from that a little bit. The everlasting God, back in verse 28, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. He is countering a much too human view of God. I'm tired. He must be tired. He hadn't done anything in a long time. He must be spent. Is that the answer? Well, if your God is too small, that's the answer. But if your God is the God of the heavens and of the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is not tired. And he is not tired of strengthening that generation and the next generation and the one that follows and the one that's coming after them and bringing them down into Egypt and making them a nation. He's not too tired to bring them out and to lead them into the wilderness and feed them every day and keep their foot from swelling and their sandal from wearing out. And he's not too tired to bring them into the land of promise and give it to them. He's not too tired. And follow that Old Testament story on through, and he's not too weary to bring to us into this world his own dear Son, our Lord Jesus. He's not too weary. No. We may be too weary to lift our heads in prayer, but he is not too weary to hear our prayer. We may be too weary to put one foot in front of the other, but he's not too weary to strengthen us. Oh, let's not have small views of God. Next, he gives to us an assurance, verse 29. He gives strength to the weary. Oh, what's Joshua's and Caleb's story? Their story is, we're just as strong today when we've come out of the wilderness as when we first went into it. As our strength was then, so our strength is now. God gives strength to the weary. Now, there's something I love about this verse that is extremely non-specific. Weary of what? To him who lacks might, he increases power to do what? Not said, is it? And the wonderful thing about so much of the scripture like this is you can plug yourself right into that. You can plug your situation, your heartache, your trial, your weariness, your difficulties, and say, well, you know, he didn't really say. If he's talking about going up against giants, he doesn't say it, so it would apply to David, but it also applies to me. He doesn't talk about storming Jericho, but if he did, it would have spoken specifically to Joshua, but he doesn't say that. So maybe it does speak to you, and it does speak to me. He gives strength to the weary, whatever they're weary of. He gives to him who lacks might, for whatever reason, he increases power to do whatever his will is for that person. That's encouraging to me. Because I found that my life is much, much, much different from Martin Luther's or Hudson Taylor's or George Mueller's or anybody, and yours probably is as well. And you think, well, you know, God help those people. I mean, I've got their biography at home. It's glorious. And they had the non-specific general promises just like you did. And they found it applied to them. It strengthened them. It spoke to them whatever their weariness was, whatever their sorrow was, whatever their grief was. I think of Hudson Taylor. He lost his wife right there in the midst of China. And you think, oh, you really can't lose your right-hand man in China. But he did. And he goes to the Lord and he says, now, Lord, you promised if any man thirsts, you would give him living water. And he went to the Lord over and over and over with this promise. And it doesn't really speak particularly about losing your wife, does it? No. But yes, it does. Yes, it does. And whatever makes you weary, whatever beats you down, is what this verse is speaking to right there. And he'll give strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he'll increase power. Now, what do you have to do then? Well, verse 31 makes it so simple, doesn't it? Those who wait for the Lord. You can think anybody can wait. And it's harder than it is to say. And we're proving this. I think in our own experience, those who wait for the Lord, those who finally realize, all right, I'm spent, my strength's gone, I've grown weary and tired, verse 30, I've stumbled badly, verse 30, I need help. And the course of wisdom is then to do what the prophet says, well, the Savior is speaking through him, those who wait for the Lord. And the promise? Gain strength? No. But you'll gain new strength. He's not taking you back to where you were. He's taking you past that. This is the promise. Something new, something fresh, something that you've probably never tasted before, some new height. And I think this is one reason Paul says that we're going from glory to glory. New step, a new plateau, another place, a higher land, a greater understanding, a deeper realization. Until what? You're mounting up with wings like eagles. And you're running and you're not getting tired. And you're walking and you're not becoming weary. The things that just beat us down in time past is no longer beating us down. The last time I really tried to run was in the LAX airport. And we'd already missed a flight. Or the threat was there. The plane, we disembarked one plane, we're to catch another plane. And we did our best O.J. Simpson. You may be too young for that, but he was always running through airports and jumping over things. And we gave it our best. And then, like Peter and John, Ryan outran me. And I finally just said, have fun without me. I can't go another step. There is something about running and then getting tired and just finally just saying, I've got to stop. But this is the promise. They will run and not get tired. That's not human strength, is it? It's divine strength. Walking and not becoming weary. Well, walking's easier than running, depending on how far you're walking, right? Take a 25-mile hike. See how you feel at the end. There's the end of your human strength. But he's saying you'll walk and not become weary. That's new strength. And I praise God that this is not the only place in Scripture where such things are revealed, where there's encouragement to draw from him, to cast our burdens on him, to let him sustain us, and he will do it. And for whatever your weariness is, whatever source of fatigue is gripping you, there is help for that in your God. Let's pray.